Got a troubled mind. Wash it out and hang it up on a clothing line.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Cameron here with you as always. Kevin is not here this week though. We're doing something a little bit different. This week I have with me Azel James and Maddie Carter-Ropel. And Maddie you may know from some prominent roles he's been in on shows like Stranger Things. And Azel is a filmmaker. And together they have worked with the organization that I work for, American Council on Science and Health, to produce a new documentary called Big Fears, Little Risks. And I want to say it's sort of like a Reader's Digest look at some of the prominent science issues that we are dealing with even today. So things like GMOs and vaccines and nuclear power and chemicals and food. And it's an incredible film. I hope you guys all go see it. But the idea is just to expose people to some sound science in a format that's entertaining and accessible. Because so many times people go online looking for information about vaccines, for example, and they end up on some website that, provides compelling information, but it's mostly false. So the idea here is to put out a documentary that people can get into quickly, something that's humorous and entertaining, but also educational. So we're going to dive into why they made the film, what it's about, who it's for, and hopefully you guys get something out of this, and then you go enjoy this documentary, Big Fears, Little Risks. So thank you so much for joining us. Here we go. All right. Well, Maddie, Azel, welcome to the show. How are you guys today?
I'm doing good. How are you, Maddie?
I'm great. I'm doing great. Doing well. Yeah, I like that we answer that at the same time. We're like a dynamic duo over here.
You have so much in common, and you did work on this film together. So why don't we actually start there, and both of you guys can weigh in, but tell me about Big Fears, Little Risks. Why did you make it? Who is it for? And most importantly, what is it about?
Yeah, I'll start. I was actually introduced to the project through Hank Campbell and the American Council of Science and Health, and then Tom Gola. They were basically redoing the Walter Cronkite version of maybe a few decades ago, Big Fears, Little Risks. And I really liked it. I thought the topics that they covered, in the original version were really cool, interesting. It was a lot about, stuff that was trending of its day, maybe chemicals in the environment causing cancer. They had experts. But I thought the one thing that maybe we could do if we redid it would to add like some humor to it, to kind of play the other side, because I think the original version really spoke to like the scientific perspective, but it didn't really shed light on like the other perspective, like the unscientific perspective. And I thought that might be room for someone like Maddie with some excellent comedy chops to go in there and just kind of play the unscientific part. And then, I guess Maddie can answer to the comedy part.
Right. Yeah. Azel approached me and to be part of this, and I was like, I'm in. And I think it's so smart of you to do that, because it adds such a nice layer to all the the very scientific and things that it's not boring stuff, but it's definitely a different vibe. And I think it meshes the two of comedy and being very, scientific, and this is very, important information that we're receiving. And Azel did such an amazing job with writing all the funny stuff. And obviously I improvised quite a bit, but that was all Azel. I mean, you did an amazing job with that. And
Maddie. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I just saw the movie this morning. I was able to watch the whole thing because I've been out in New Mexico filming a top secret movie. But it's such an incredible film that I think everyone needs to see. And it's such an honor to be a part of it.
So you both touched on this briefly, it's very funny, and I'm not going to give away any of the jokes because we want everybody to watch it. But right from the get-go, it's entertaining. And even if I didn't do this stuff for a living, I still would have laughed at the jokes and I would have been engaged and what I was watching. So my question to you guys is, does that just come naturally to you as people that make movies for a living, or was that intentional? Were you trying to hook people in a way that they would be more open to the science lessons that are littered throughout the film?
Well, I do feel like attention spans are really kind of narrow when it comes to, you know, video, especially like a show on Netflix. You know, they kind of start right away with something like a cold open. So I think that's just kind of the tone of the day as far as like filmmaking. But, you know, one thing about filmmaking is, you know, as like a director or writer, it really depends on like the cast. And, you know, I think if you're lucky enough to get someone like Maddie, who's done a bunch of comedies and has, you know, already has like a personality out there that people get and love, that's like the secret sauce to me, because I think the writing is important and I think the topics are important, but really like the cast and like those characters. Maddie's just had like, I maybe met Maddie maybe 7 years ago, and Coca-Cola just instantly commercial. you just know that like this guy's gonna be interesting. He's gonna be,
oh, thanks.
He's gonna be good. So
this guy's gonna either make it or not make it. I'm just kidding.
You definitely made it. I mean, you helped make this. And I think, so in my mind, what really helped was I knew Maddie was going to do it. And so I could really write for Maddie. I could really, you know, he's got a body of work like Stranger Things and A Series of Unfortunate Events, his Top Secret in New Mexico movie that eventually will pry out of him during this podcast. But I think, he made it easy. I'll just put it that way, Cameron.
So, Maddie, you said you heard about the movie and you were in. I'm wondering, you know, given your background as an actor, what's your interest in these topics? And it's common, you know, people that work in the movie industry, they have other things that they're interested in that they'll participate in when they're not making movies. But what was that for you? What brought you to this?
Just the subject matter was very interesting to me, and I was very drawn to it because I love science. Also, I was a bit nervous about it because I didn't really see the full picture of what Azel wanted to do. But once I saw it today, you know, I just worry about, the movie's not, you know, anti-vaccine or anything like that. It's such an important topic. And I was afraid that, you know, there would be some kind of, I don't want to get canceled or something, but I think the film, it's such an important topic, especially now with what's going on. And it adds such more clarity with, you know, things that are happening right now with vaccines and, you know, GMOs and all that stuff. And it's been such a great learning experience to be a part of this, because I'm learning too as I'm saying these words and learning about it and being a part of this and adding some kind of humor to it. So, I think that answers your question. that was the question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Good, yeah. Good. That part's definitely staying in.
Okay. Good.
So
attention span. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. I've already forgotten what we were talking about.
So we're on the right page.
So next question, and both of you guys can weigh in on this. Cause I think you'll both have some insight, but, from my vantage point, as I watched the film, you seem to avoid the temptation of getting overly political or being condescending to, you know, the average person that might accept some of these questionable ideas. And we, on this podcast, we talk about how important that is to try to, you know, don't threaten people's identity as you're trying to change their mind on a subject. So I'm wondering, did you guys do that intentionally, or is that just kind of part of what you do as filmmakers?
Yeah. I don't know how Maddie feels, but I do feel like I'm kind of the average person. So if I was to make fun of that kind of perspective, I would just be pointing at myself. And I think, you know, the way maybe Maddie talked about the way he comes up with his characters, but we were very sensitive to that. And I don't know, maybe let Maddie talk about how he came up with his character.
Oh, right. With my character, I mean, it's just me, basically, just playing myself. and kind of a goofball in how Azel wrote it. I think it meshed well with what you wanted to accomplish with adding humor to it.
Yeah,
and of course, we don't want to make fun of any of these people, or we just want to lay out the facts and add some clarity.
Do you, and I don't know to the how much you guys are involved in these kind of projects more generally, but do you get a sense that that can be a problem with documentaries? Because as a consumer of them, I have noticed that from time to time that, you know, every so often you'll get one that has very interesting information in it, but the approach of the people that made it is very much like, I'm going to make you less stupid. And so, you know, I pick up on that as someone who's watching the movie, and, you know, I try to set aside my biases, but when I feel that that's happening, I get that much more skeptical. So do you guys, I mean, I guess as filmmakers, but as people that probably consume a lot of movies and things too, do you find that that's an issue?
I don't know. I can, as far as like the politicization, I can't even say what that word is, but it's, you know, we're so divided, right? Like the country is so divided. Social media, especially Twitter, can be very divisive and controversial. And what I've noticed in like some really good documentaries, like the Duplass brothers did Wild Wild Country. That was a great series. And I'm also watching a new thing on Netflix, Heist, but they really humanize these people who have been in these very strange cult-like environments, or, you know, done this major crime, and they humanize them, right? They tell the story of the people who've made these kind of terrible decisions and been through these harrowing things. So I kind of looked at the other side of these scientific arguments, specifically on the anti-vax side. You can really see where that kind of spawned from when you know the backstory. So a scientist came up with a study that was, you know, was kind of ill-conceived and had some nefarious backstory about him, you know, with some financial strings trying to tarnish the MMR vaccine. And he kind of led the autism community astray, thinking that, oh, this thing that's happening to children is connected somehow to vaccines. And, you know, with children now, I totally get how paranoid parents can be when, you know, we hear something on the internet like some type of medicine is bad for kids, or don't let your kids go near plastic bottles, or whatever it might be. You know, I think we're in a hypersensitive area where we're trying to protect these little children who can't protect themselves. So that was very, you know, I definitely wanted to point the arrow straight at Dr. Andrew Wakefield, because he was not like an innocent bystander in this. He was, you know, he had kind of dirty deals going on with law firms, and he made a fake study. It was retracted. Scientific community kind of expelled him. So I didn't want to make fun of the people that kind of got caught up in his activism, because I know they were kind of unwitting participants just looking for an answer or a cure for what their kids were going through. And I'm very sympathetic to that. So like, if anything, I wanted the film to kind of maybe like reach those people to let them know that like this new vaccine, when it is available for kids, is going to be safe and effective. It's safe and effective for adults, and kind of explain where the original hesitancy started and how it's kind of carried through like two decades now and killed, you know, that way of thinking has literally killed people. So I think it's important.
Well said. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. Go ahead, Maddie, if you want to add something.
Oh, no, just well said. And yeah.
Okay. Digital high fives all around.
Yeah, digital high five.
I'm wondering what was the experience like for you guys? Because you met a lot of people that I know, and I've learned a lot from over the years. So I'm wondering, did you learn anything about either making a documentary like this, or was there something scientific that you pulled out that you never had picked up on before? What was that process like?
Well, the thing that was really interesting to me was, so you could definitely tell like the political leanings of the scientists, whether it be left or right. But what was amazing to me was that they kind of like had some general scientific consensus. And one thing that really surprised me was there was like this general overarching consensus around nuclear power. I wasn't even going to really, that wasn't even on our original topic list to cover that. But we just kind of got into, you know, the idea of like fracking was on our topics, right? Like that, like the idea is fracking good or bad? Is natural gas good? But it all, everyone led down to nuclear. And that really surprised me. It was like across the board, no matter if you could tell they were on the left or the right, or they were a doctor, scientist, a skeptic, a researcher. The nuclear was one of those things that really stood out as like, hey, this is like the answer to climate change. And as like a regular Joe, you know, non-PhD, that was surprising because I'm still quite, even after doing the documentary, like I would not want to live right next to a nuclear plant, right? Like I would not. But it's kind of an interesting thought that you have this scientific consensus around this really terrifying technology that all we know is like Fukushima and Three Mile Island. So that was really, really refreshing to see that, because you wouldn't see that in politics, right? I don't know, Cameron, like people aren't going to coalesce on an infrastructure bill, right? It's going to be the left is going to push for it, and the right, maybe two or three people from the right will come on board because they're politicians. But there's this unique thing in the science world where, you know, scientists will get around something or get on board if the data points to it. So I don't know. What do you think, Cameron?
I actually think that's a really excellent point. And one of the things that I noticed, because I've been involved in science journalism now in some capacity for a decade or so, and to your point, you know, what the evidence says about a given topic and what people are told about it is drastically different in many cases. And it just struck me, you know, because when you start covering science, you're looking at academic studies, you're actually talking to the people that write them and do the experiments. And then when you see the way either the media or the way, and that's why I mentioned documentaries earlier, you know, you see a popular documentary and there's often a gap. And so that was really surprising to me. And I think what you guys did is sort of kind of fill that in because as you said, you know, you have all of these people, very diverse perspectives. If you were to ask them about, you know, gun control or climate change or whatever, they almost certainly would not have the same exact view. But when it comes to a viable solution to one of those things, they're like, oh yeah, nuclear, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really cool. What was one of the surprising things that you learned, Maddie, as far as like when we were filming, was there anything that stuck out?
All the stuff about GMOs was really interesting. I didn't know about that. And also everything with the, you know, I think this relates to it, doesn't it? With the organic foods.
Yeah.
Just with that, I didn't know all that stuff that, you know, some organic stuff isn't actually organic. Right.
Yeah. Organic in the terms that they use organic pesticides. Right.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That was actually, I agree, Maddie, 100%. I have not bought any organic food since we filmed this. None. No organic vegetables or anything like that, because it's, you know, going through this and talking to all the scientists that, you know, I really, that's where like it changed my perspective. I completely got on board with the science, and I'm, you know, Bruce Ames, this like legendary guy who's, you know, created the carcinogen test. Like if he tells me that there's no difference in organic and conventional, and you're just wasting your money, like I'm going to listen to him, right? I'm not going to listen to, you know, the food maker on what's better for me. So I just, I stopped buying organic stuff. I know that's kind of like probably not going to score me points in Hollywood, but, that was one thing I did learn. So I'm not surprised that you picked up on that, Maddie.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And just the whole film in general, I just think it'll add more clarity for people. And I really think the anti-vaxxers and people like that need to see this, because I think they're just fed wrong information, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing to promote, especially with everything that's going on now with COVID, is, you just got to get the vaccine. You know, you just have to get it because, you know, people are dying and we got to get this under control. I mean, I for one, you know, would like life to get back to normal, and all these stubborn people need to wake up and just get the vaccine. It's good for your health, you know?
Yeah, agree.
So as a final question for you guys, and we sort of danced around this just a minute ago, but I'm wondering, were you, because we're all in California, but I think you guys are both in Southern California. Do you get the sense that people around you don't really know the information that's in the film, and that, and again, you said you haven't bought organic food, and that's not going to score you a ton of points, Azel. So I get the impression that, you know, the misconceptions that people have are still very common. Is that, am I right in that, in the community that you guys are kind of surrounded by?
Oh, I would say definitely. I would say that when we started filming, that anti-vaccination, at least in Los Angeles, was probably a little more prominent. I would say that kind of hearts and minds have changed a bit, which is great. And I think it's been more whether the politics have changed in Los Angeles or California a little bit regarding vaccinations. I think we more openly embrace it. And what's really ironic now is like where maybe the pushback on vaccines used to come from the left, now it's coming from the right. So I really do feel like it's a hyper politicized issue. The science isn't really getting out. And you know, it's an unfortunate political, like, I don't know what it is, like it's a fight. And some of the other issues surrounding like all natural and organic and I mean, like, we're like the Whole Foods Mecca, right? Like, we're in the all natural kind of capital, and I'm guilty as anybody else. Like, everything I bought was organic, and I had tons of homeopathic children's remedy for my kids, and my wife would, you know, like, yeah, like, I fell probably on the other side of most of these. Still, the nuclear thing still freaks me out, but I understand that it is a tool that probably needs to be developed, and we talked to some really cool companies. But I don't know, Maddie, what do you think about Los Angeles? I think we're making good strides on the vaccine, at least.
Yeah, I think LA is definitely waking up. I just, you know, I worry about, you know, some people in, you know, middle America and stuff like that, or yeah, people on Facebook that just post crazy things. Maybe like some of my cousins or stuff like that will post things, and it's just, you know, about the vaccine, anti-vaccine stuff. And, you know, it's just, some of the theories are just crazy. Like, yeah, it just doesn't make sense. But it seems like LA is really kind of leading whatever you would say, fill in the blank. But yeah, just leading the way with vaccines and kind of waking up. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot more testing, which is good, which we need to do more of. And, you know, we'll get our boosters going, or third shot coming up. So yeah, I think people are really waking up. I think it's pretty under control in LA, isn't it, right now anyway?
Is it, Cameron? I don't know, from a science perspective.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, you guys are clearly correct that, you know, in recent years, you have the more conservative folks are starting to jump into this more, you know, more prominently and take sort of like an anti-government stance. But it seems to be one of the few issues that's truly bipartisan, in that, you know, if you hate pharmaceutical companies, well, you know, you're a good progressive and therefore you hate vaccines. And if you're a good conservative, you hate government and the FDA is corrupt. And, you know, so they can all kind of get together on that, which can be frustrating. But I think that, you know, both your answers, it illustrates that people can change their minds. And it really comes down to really pursuing the information and then how it's presented. So, you know, as we wrap up here, tell us a little bit about the film's about to premiere. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. We're going to be premiering on September 8th at Dances with Films Festival at the Chinese Theaters in Hollywood. And really, we're presenting this as like a pilot for a documentary series, pitch that we'd like to do, because we see unlimited amounts of topics to kind of spotlight and cover. Specifically, like, you look at nuclear, what about 5G? Like, what was that all about, right? Like, this cellular technology that's causing COVID. Like, these things kind of just creep up into the social ethos, and then they start to change people's minds and make them crazy. So we're very excited about our premiere, Dances with Films, on September 8th. We got some exciting stuff planned for social. We might be giving away some tickets and everything like that. So that is the plan for the premiere.
And where can people follow you guys? I know you're both on Twitter and Instagram and all that. So give a plug for all that if people want to follow you and find out more about this.
I'm on Instagram. Yeah, Maddie Carteropol. TikTok, Maddie Carteropol. Anything with Maddie Carteropol, you can follow.
Yeah, and I'm kind of similar. I'm Twitter, Azel James. Instagram, Azel James. AzelJames.com. It's pretty easy. It's just our names. Just Google us.
Yeah, very good. All right. Hey, well, thank you to both of you for joining me and talking about the movie. And I encourage everyone, if you're listening, go to the premiere if you can and you know, really, really get into this and pursue it. And maybe we can turn this into a viable, exciting series of documentaries. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Cameron. Thank you. And Azel.